The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes may be good, sometimes may be shit.
Welcome back to the NAFTA podcast episode, somewhere in the low 90s, I believe. We are match week 20 recap. We have dudes of the week, and you are hosted by myself and Nick today. Dylan, I don't know what Dylan's doing, Nick. Maybe that's what I was going to ask you. I was trying to think of what my question was. Do you know what he's up to?
I have no idea. I feel like he probably has to go into the office today and tomorrow or something like that, and I have no idea. Sometimes Dylan's intentionally mysterious sometimes, and
I'll tell you what, that's a valid reason to not have to podcast, having to go into the office. An invalid reason, unless it was purchased by your wife, which maybe it was. John has knitting. He has to go knit. I can't tell you one time I've ever wanted to, like, knit, and I've wanted to do some, like, very obscure things. Knitting does not tickle me at all.
I feel like it's a nice therapeutic, like, relaxing thing to learn to do. So maybe something like that, that's pretty cool. But, like, I mean, just order a sweater online. You know, it's a lot easier.
And, listen, yeah, I don't take very...
likely to stab yourself.
I don't take very many hard stances on this podcast, but I'm going to put my flag down. I'm anti-knitting, I think.
I think it'd be fun to learn, but, like, let me be 85. You know, like, maybe need some dexterity still.
You got all the time in the world, you know, hopefully, to knit.
we're still in our prime. We're still athletes ish. You know, John just ran a marathon. He ran the New York City Marathon. Like,
yeah,
we still do athletic things.
And you know why we still do athletic things, and I think that's why we relate so strongly to the Premier League, because we see ourselves in those players, don't you think, Nick?
Yeah, I see myself as a great water boy or a ball.
As a ball boy,
chasing the balls. Yeah, I was great as a ball boy.
I was like, I could get that ball back to you so much faster than that 16-year-old.
Oh, I'd be that kid that Jose, when he was with Spurs, when he hugged him, when he threw that that quick ball and it led to a goal in the Champions League.
Absolutely. Anyway,
that would be me. But I'd be like Kramer in that Seinfeld episode where he's when he's the ball boy at the U.S. Open.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like a crazy person.
Yeah, that would be huge. Like Jose Mourinho comes up to you, gives you a hug, realizes like you're in your 30s, and he's like, fuck, never mind.
Yeah.
No,
just like the dude that's 40 years old with gray hair in his beard.
Hey, that's the dream, though. That's why we keep coming back, you know? All right. So we got Match Week 20 recap, as I had mentioned. Nick, I know we don't typically do a dedicated section to pop culture references and shit like that. Did you watch college football playoffs?
I watched a little bit of the Michigan game on... I had it on the iPad... my future missus was decompressing with a Grey's Anatomy marathon. So I had the game on the iPad, checking down and watching. Her mom's a Michigan grad. So we were watching, and she was all jacked up. I had to send her a link to Rose Bowl t-shirts the next morning so she could buy one.
Going for, yeah. I had Michigan and Washington. I made a little bit of money on them both. But I thought the Michigan game was pretty good. Always love to see Alabama lose. I'm not an Ohio State grad. I am an Ohio State fan. I have to imagine it's different if you went to the school and you know, your whole, you know, 4 years or however many is about beating Michigan. I hate Nick Saban. I hate Alabama more than anything else. So I love seeing them lose. Now I just want Michigan to lose. Sorry, Caroline and your mother. But, you know.
Yeah, I'm all in on Washington, mostly because Dylan got me into him, because Dylan became a random Washington fan like 6 years ago.
Yeah.
But I also have a little bit of coin on a future that I place at the beginning of the season.
Oh.
And I need some serious replenishment into the need a little deposit to be made. So hopefully come Tuesday morning next week, I'll be a little bit richer in that regard.
That would be big, I feel like. Because it's like pretty big even at the beginning of the playoff.
It was plus 1,900 at the beginning of the season.
That's huge. I think they were plus seven, like, at the beginning of the playoffs.
Yeah. I mean, it's not Dave Portnoy money, you know, where he's betting $1 million on Michigan. Yeah.
Whatever. I don't. He's also one of my least favorite people, but, you know,
he puts his money out there. Yeah, so hopefully we'll see. A couple hundred bucks will be nice, but we'll see how it works out.
That'd be so big.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought you saw some great players out there. I thought Michael Penix was great. I thought Blake Corum was really good. Milroe, I just, you know, a lot of great players out there. Some, you see how I'm trying to transition. I'm trying to be like John. That's my New Year's resolution, is try to be like John. Some of those players might sneak into our Dudes of the Week, but we won't know until we do them. And with that said, Nick, it's just you and me. You got first. We'll just do back and forth. We don't have to do this convoluted shit. So you just get the first, the third, and the fifth. I got the second, fourth, and sixth. So go on ahead.
All right. I'm picking first week. I'm picking Oscar Bob, just because his name's awesome. And maybe it's more of a shout out to his parents. Like, that's a sweet name. Oscar. I'm not someone that trusts people with two first names, usually. You know, granted, Tucker can be used as a first name, but when I saw him, I'd never seen him play, and I saw that guy, I was like, dude, that's a sick name. I gotta shout him out.
So, were you unaware that we have talked about Oscar Bob before, or is this just the first time you've seen him play?
Both.
Okay. I was gonna say, because I was like, damn, we've mentioned him a couple times at the very least, but yeah
I saw he's played in six matches. I just didn't pay attention, but another young player that's really good for City. Shocking seeing that one happening.
Yeah, of course, you know. It was Rico Lewis, then, or Phil Foden, Rico Lewis, now Oscar Bob, all going to be very good. I'm going to shout out the other half of the pod family, younger brother, and shout out Dylan Tucker here, and go with Mateus Cunha. Absolutely great game against Everton, beating down the Toffees. You know, even worse off, you watched that with Hank, I'm pretty sure, right? So that had to be kind of fun and sad at the same time. But great performance by Cunha. So shout out Wolf, shout out Dylan, shout out Mateus Cunha.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, thank God he's okay after he went knees first into the post.
Yeah, absolutely. That's always a scary one.
All right, I'm going to shout out the Wrexham boys. I'm going to shout out Elliot Lee and Paul Mullen. New contracts until 2026 and 2027. So they're in a position right now. Obviously, the season doesn't end, but if it did, they'd be automatically promoted, so they're in a good spot right now. And I think it's true what they say on the show. They're a pretty solid League One side. So we'll see that. See how that goes. They're playing, who they play at? Shrewsbury, who's mid-table League One Saturday or Sunday.
And the FA
Cup. So that should be a good. Yeah, I think that should be a pretty sick test. But I'm glad to see those guys stay. And hopefully Paul's figured out his issues with his wife or partner or whoever she is.
Right. they're tied on points with Mansfield. Mansfield has a game in hand, and then they have a game in hand on Stockport. So they could actually go as high as first or second, depending on what Mansfield does. But yeah, big 4-1 win against Barrow, who was, basically a point behind them. So it's definitely a win to separate a little bit. All right, my second one, I'm just going to have to go with it because I'm not going to get to say it for a couple weeks, probably. Mo Salah, 2 goals and an assist after the penalty, got his penalty saved, scored another one. Absolutely ridiculous assist to Gakpo. Huge goal to get us off in the 49th minute. And just an absolutely, the most nerve-wracking 7XG game I've ever watched.
That was insane when I saw that stat. Absolutely insane.
It was actually, man of the match is just straight up Dubravka, because we could have scored like 15 goals, but you know, we also poor finishes, but he had some unbelievable saves. So I guess I'll duel it up, unless you're gonna go Dubravka. I'm gonna go Mo Salah and Martin Dubravka.
No, I'll tell you who I actually decided to go something different. I saw an article on FotMob. It's the how England's golden generation is doing as managers.
And
they're doing horrible,
very bad,
horrible. So I was reading through it, and Well, then I went down. It has Stevie G at number one, and it has Michael Carrick at number three. So, because I think just because Stevie G won the Scottish Premier League, but I want to say I'm gonna shout out Michael Carrick. You know, he was down in second. I think it was second from the bottom at one point. You know, maybe 8 or 10 games in, and they're up there 12th, I think, right now, and they're
right.
3 points, 4 points off of the playoff spots. So he's one of two managers of that generation to be over 50% win percentage. But I was just more shocked that I knew they were bad, but that bad. Like Sol Campbell, 22% winning percentage.
That is not particularly good.
And Wayne Rooney not doing great either, but you know, we could talk about that later if we wanted to.
Yeah, I was actually gonna shout out my man Wayne right here, getting out of Birmingham. I don't know. This is maybe an ironic dude of the week, but it just an insane two and a combined 13. So like I didn't look at how you want to dice it up, but like they weren't that bad. And it's just like maybe they just don't get Wayne's style over there, you know?
I was trying to ask them, like, they were in fifth. I didn't realize they were in fifth place. And now they're in 20th. Like, and I'm trying to figure out why did they fire. I can't find any like real reason why they fired the previous manager outside of Tom Brady wanted to make a big splash,
right?
Like, a big name signing. I'm like, who cares? You're winning. I would think that would, of all people, he would take that as a superseding factor. But
I'll tell you what, man, it's one of those things. I think Tom Brady is probably like, you know, just get somebody old and who was good, like one of the best ever. And, like, he's basically doing a Belichick because he thinks he can do it better. And, you know, Wayne Rooney and being a player Wayne Rooney and coach Wayne Rooney are not the same thing.
No. No. I mean, maybe Tom was trying to see if how an old great player would be as a manager if he hired him, see if he goes back into coaching to see how that works out. And doesn't look good for him.
No. Definitely, definitely bad. Poor, you know what? Poor one out for Wayne. Seems like a... trying to be a good manager, but just not, maybe just needs the right fit, you know? So
maybe, you know, I'm sure he'll pour a few out for himself.
Yeah. All right. Dudes of the week, all done and finished there. Match week 20 was, I don't even know how we did in particular. I have to look that up and tell you after. But match week 20 was an interesting one for sure. I'm going to run through the quick games here. First off, we had Luton Town 2, Chelsea 3. Goals by Palmer, Madueke, and then Palmer again. And then Ross Barkley and Adebayo in the 80 and 87th minute, respectively. Aston Villa 3, Burnley 2. This was a back-and-forth one. Leon Bailey in the 28th, Amdouni in the 30th, Diaby in the 42nd, Lyle Foster in the 71st, and then a Douglas Luiz penalty right before the 90th minute, give Aston Villa the 3-2 win. Then we go to Crystal Palace 3, Brentford 1. Brentford with a goal in the second minute from Lewis Potter. Elise in the 14th, 39th, and 58th minute. They are definitely the two best players for Crystal Palace, and they showed it there. Manchester City 2, Sheffield United 0. Rodri and Alvarez, the Rodri goal outside the box and the Alvarez goal both hoist City above Sheffield United. Definitely, if there was any other result, it would have been insane. Wolverhampton Wanderers 3, Everton 0. As I mentioned before, Kilman in the 25th, Mateus Cunha, man of the match, in the 53rd, and then Dawson in the 61st. I'm pretty sure Kilman has like 3 or 4 Premier League goals, all of them against Everton for some reason. He loves playing the Toffees. Nottingham Forest 2, Manchester United 1. A goal from Dominguez in the 64th, Rashford in the 78th, and then Morgan Gibbs-White, Dylan's favorite player, in the 82nd. Give Forest the 2-1 win. Spurs 3, Bournemouth 1. Pape Sarr in the 9th, Heung-min Son in the 71st, Richarlison in the 80th, and then Scott in the 84th to give Bournemouth a goal back, but still a Spurs win at home. And then the one we will, I'm sure, spend zero time on, West Ham 0, Brighton 0. It's a 0-0. We don't talk about those. So we'll see. Maybe one of these teams will get into the goals next time we have the Prem. All right, Nick, any of these games in particular, I know United is in here. I didn't feel good making it a point of conversation necessarily, but I know that you might have some thoughts. So let's start there. And what do you have to say about Manchester United in this week?
I was going to say, do you want me to get this out of the way right away?
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah, before my little spiel here, there's a couple of comments that I was thinking of that we were, Dylan and I and Hank went to Mulligan's in Hoboken. Great, true soccer pub, like great place to hang out. That one, the fans I was with have to be some of the dumbest United fans I've ever sat with. And I would say just soccer fans, period. Like and specifically the second goal, this guy next to me is getting all worked up about, Johnny Evans, why didn't you block that? It's your fault. The goal scorer, fucking Johnny Evans. And I'm like, did you not see Scott McTominay about 15 yards out of position, or Diego Dalot not close down? Or did you see Bruno pressing 48 yards away? And then all of a sudden he's all the way on the left sideline and there's 80 million acres of space to transition in the middle. You know, so I'm just like, and I look at Dylan, he goes, just don't say anything. Just keep your mouth shut. Because I was about, what, 5 or 6 Guinnesses in at that point? And I was like, so it was that. And then I was just thinking, Bruno was killing me. Like, I'm starting to jump on your side of the fence about Bruno. Like, great player. But the only person I see cry more than him is LeBron James. Like, those two are the same.
Well, I can't agree with that comparison.
I did tell Dylan I was going to say it just to get under Michael's skin specifically that way, but he just complains like crazy. Like, it's unbelievably frustrating, and he's like, I'm going to bet him over on cards every time. Like, every time, but...
Well, didn't you say you
couldn't bet... This is why... Sometimes you can bet specific players to get cards. Sometimes you can't, but...
I thought there was one, you had texted and you were like, they won't let me bet, like, it's not available, like, 10 minutes before the game started, and I was like,
game or something.
Yeah, well, I was like, I never even thought of that. That's a guarantee every time. Like, he's gonna get a card. Well, he literally didn't get a card this game, so maybe it isn't, but tends to be a guarantee.
Yeah. So this is what I want to say. This was my piece I just wanted to say, and I'm gonna disappoint everybody that I'm not gonna rant and rave and I'm not gonna scream and yell.
Okay.
I'm at peace with this. I am at peace with this season. I am at peace. It is, as you guys know, I am a man of decent faith, and this is a season that is going to be of tested faith. That is what it's going to be. So while it is still incredibly frustrating and not enjoyable to watch, and I will watch every minute I'm able to watch, because it is a season that is testing my fandom and it is testing my my patience. But if you are a fan of any club or any team or any sport or anybody, you watch them through the good and you watch them through the bad. And this is not a shot. You've watched Liverpool for, you know, however many years, and, you know, all the frustrating moments and not winning. And it's a different frustration that we're experiencing, but it's what it is, you know. And my expectations are just, you know, maybe we sneak into Europe. Maybe we get lucky. But I'm going to watch every minute I can. And it's just, we're just going to have to hope that they figure it out sometime in the next couple of years. And it's all you can do. Screaming and yelling is not going to do anything, but just make it worse. So I'm just going to watch. I'll suffer. It's a part of the experience. I have how many friends are Mets fans? How many of my friends are Jets fans?
Yeah.
Like, I've been very blessed in my life to have many championships. So maybe this is my punishment, and I just have to deal with it.
But I will say...
I'm at peace. I have no expectations, and I will watch, and I will get frustrated, but I'm not going to get screaming and yelling fired up anymore.
I will say...
Until I do.
Yeah, until you're just like, okay, I can't anymore. I will say, I'm pretty lucky too, at least when I started being able to, like, consistently follow Liverpool was mainly in Klopp's time. So, like, even when we weren't winning, like, we finished fourth or the first couple of years, like, it was always exciting to watch, and you were at least happy that they were out there playing. I did have three things written down about this game. One, why did Maynou come off? Is he hurt?
No, he said it was tactical, which makes no sense to me, because Scott McTominay is like a lost golden retriever, you know? So.
Yeah, I would have more so like McTominay and Fernandez. I know, understand Fernandez is your best player, but like me personally, I think he is sometimes a liability. Speaking of him, I saw the stat that in the year 2023, not like a season, he ran more than any player in the Premier League, and it was the comment was it was chasing refs to complain the whole time. but I, you know, again, he does run quite a bit because he always tries to fill in, which I also don't know if that's always the best thing to do. But then I know you guys are in the midst of a winger crisis. Like, how badly would you like Anthony Elanga back?
Oh, I don't know if I go that far.
He's pretty good.
He's doing a nice job. He started using his left foot all of a sudden. He never had a left foot when he played with us. He'd always, you know, and granted he was only given, it is true, like what he said the other day, like he was only given 10 or 15 minutes a run. He was never given like a legitimate run in the side, you know, but
yeah.
I mean, we'd take him, but again, like, who are you going to put him over right now? He's not going to play some academy product, you know, when you bring in a new manager. And this is my favorite part, actually. I meant to say this. When Antony came off, because I said to Dylan, I go, Dylan, I'm going to yell Antony sucks and see what the reaction is. I want to get the temperature of the room. And I was like, maybe I won't. Antony comes off, the whole bar erupts. Like, get this fucking clown out of here.
Dude, Diallo is pretty good, too.
I go, nice. Dude, I love him. Like, when he's healthy, like, I've really enjoyed him. And he's just been, he's had injury troubles. But, like, he's very direct. You know, he moves well off the ball. He defends. And he'll use his right foot, and he doesn't try to do too much. You know, like, he just does what's in front of him. So I would like to see him get a little bit of a run and try. Again, it'd be someone you bought and never really used. So, but, yeah. Alanga's having a great – I'm happy for him. But I don't think he was cutting it at – he wasn't given a run, but he also didn't show anything when he had a chance to.
Yeah, I think it's more they just kind of let him play, which I think is obviously pretty good in general.
Yeah.
Before we move on from this game, pour one out for – Reguilon heading back to Spurs, it looks like, from the loan deal, so that sucks. Actually, I don't even know how much he played, so I don't think it matters a whole lot.
Well, I hope that means that why am I blanking on his name now that we got from PSV last year? Malacia, hopefully that means he's coming back sometime. I know in January we're getting a bunch of guys back, and we only play two matches in January. So
that's crazy.
Or two, so because we have FA Cup, Spurs, and then I think that's it. FA Cup. Yep. We play Spurs on the 14th, and then we don't play until February 1st.
Wow.
So I'm actually like, it couldn't have, as long as we put together a good performance against Spurs where it's not a slaughter, like get guys healthy, have maybe put two games, you know, in the play well column. I won't even say win column, just play well column. And, you know, get set for a battle of games coming up. So
yeah, I think you guys need to have like a mini camp midseason for sure.
Yeah.
The only other, I think the Villa game, you know, let Burnley back in it two times, kind of got, I have to be careful what I say because, you know, people falling over in the box, it was very controversial. The Duran penalty, I think this is what I'll say. I think in this year's Premier League, it's a penalty every time. I think there are about four penalties this past 2 weeks that I've just been like, I feel like that shouldn't be one, but I know it's going to be just now how the penalties are. So they kind of got saved by that. The only thing I wanted to say in this other one, Luton Town Chelsea, man, before Cole Palmer got there and they wanted Olise and they were going after him hard and they kind of settled for Palmer at the end, you, as a Chelsea fan, have to be so fucking happy that you got him because he is undoubtedly your best player.
Oh, dude, the goal that was my other dude of the week just because that goal, I think it was the second goal where he chipped it over and did the little 1-2 real quick. Like,
yeah,
that was so smooth. Like, that was, I'm like, I remember seeing it live. I'm like, wait, did he just, I don't think he did it with the slow mo. I was like, oh my God, he did do that.
Yeah.
Like, that was really impressive. And just to circle back to the pen just real quick, it drives me, I'm with you, like the penalty where an attacker runs from behind a defender and the ball's bouncing and the defender goes to like
clear it
with no knowledge and takes him out. I'm like, that one bothers me. But I mean, it did make Dylan and Hank hit a huge parlay with that one, so I was in support of it. That was a big one for them. But
yeah, I think we, you know, in terms of like our, you know, predictions, we all had Villa, but it is one of those things where I just feel like it has to kind of be going towards the end line. Like you have to be taking the ball towards the goal or something. I don't know. I don't exactly know how to fix it. Or if it even can be, it just doesn't always sit right with me. But you know, back to Palmer, his first goal was great too. Like he scored Madueke's goal was great. Their second goal, but then Palmer's second goal is the one you're talking about, was just outrageous.
Yeah.
So they did, you know, almost let Luton Town back in the game towards the end. But, you know, if they don't have Cole Palmer this season, they might be like Everton, Brentford levels, because he scores a lot of big goals for them for sure. And Nicholas Jackson
with Palace too.
I'm just gonna say he had an assist. I think thought Broha was pretty terrible up top, so they got some holes still to figure out. But what were you gonna say?
No, I was saying, since you brought up Elise and Palace, I was gonna ask you a question. Is obviously the rumor mill is moving. Do you see? Because they were saying that Roy is gonna get fired if they don't win. He's gonna get the slip. Do they sell? Do you think they sell Elise and Eze? Take that money, turn it around, get a new manager, or do they save it for the summer? Because I think that has to be the move for them.
So I don't think they'll get rid of both of them. I think getting rid of one would be fine. I think I don't know which one is older, but those are their two most, you know, obviously their two most valuable players. And I think it's pretty much whichever one you can get more money for. I do like the idea. I think Eze impacts the game more just without scoring or without assisting necessarily than Elise does. But that being said, you know, two goals from the right wing against Brentford, kind of hard to argue with that. He's pretty unreal. I personally hope he goes. I want him to go to a team that plays on the front foot, though. Like, I would be, like, if he went to, you guys do not play on the front foot. I would like him to go to, like, Spurs, weirdly, but I also don't think they really need him. I think Kulusevski does pretty well. Son, I think they're going to go more for a striker. Listen, they're so weird because they sucked all of 2023. Literally the worst team that stayed in the division through 2023. And they just look outrageous. So I don't understand them. They're a tough one to get, for sure.
No. The Wolves Everton game was a blast. I know how much time we wanted to spend on that one, but Dylan was the only Wolves fan in a room of about 8 Everton fans and a couple of dudes that were legit from Everton or from Liverpool. On the other side. And Dylan's sitting there and he's silent yelling, getting all pumped up every time the goal scores. And he's like whispering to me because he doesn't want Hank to hear. You know, shout out to Dylan for trying to be respectful. That was a dude of the week. And they scored the third goal. He finally let it all out. Yeah. And then,
had enough Guinness in.
Yeah. And then some dude wearing a Bayern jersey goes, "Why'd you pick Bueno?" And Dylan, that, like, he was with all of his Everton friends. Like, he was definitely trying to troll his buddies, talking to the one Wolves fan.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, because I was watching this game, and the first goal was 25 minutes. When it was still 0-0 and 1-0, I thought the best player on the field was Mikalenko. He was...
Yeah.
Semedo and Sarabia were both going at him. Cunha would drift over there every so often. He's an outrageously good defender. But then, I don't know, Everton were just on a little bit of a hot streak. Their midfield just got eaten up. Huang, Sarabia, Gomez, Doyle even. I don't know too much about him. But they were just on the attack, on the front foot the whole game. So, that was a great game, though. That was one of those games that I was like, this could either be like a pretty interesting game or it could be like a 0-0 and boring as hell. So...
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched a ton of Wolves lately. Huang is so fast. Like, insanely, insanely fast. He just was blowing by dudes left and right. I like Doyle. Tommy Doyle was pretty fun to watch in midfield for them. He's only like, what, 21 or something like that. He's young too.
For sure.
But, I mean, the Wolves are just, the fact that you got your two of your center backs putting the ball in, you know, Craig Dawson looking like Harry Kane, just sliding and toe poking, you know, across it and everything.
He had no clue if he was onside or not.
No. But, I mean, Everton just looked lost after the first goal, honestly. Yeah. Like, I haven't seen the Wolves dominate games very often. You know, this was an interesting one to watch because I was watching. I love James Gardner. Like, I was a little upset that United got rid of him, you know, but he was underwhelming, which was kind of disappointing because he is a very, if you pair him with the right midfielder, he can be really, really, really good.
And he's, you know, been,
he's not going to be the,
he's been really good. Yeah, he's been good this year. I think the other thing too, that I think we're probably missing right now is like, no Doucouré. They went five at the back, four, and then Calvert-Lewin. Yeah. I think Doucouré has been probably their best player. I don't think Doucouré makes up three goals in particular. So I don't think it's changing the result necessarily, but he's really good.
Three goals and they put five or six in the back of the net. So that game could have been a lot uglier, at least on the scoreboard, because it was pretty bad statistically.
Yeah. For sure. Like I said, we don't talk about nil-nil games, the West Ham-Brighton game. I'm sure it was great. Sure it was awesome. Don't talk about it. So we'll go to the last one in the ones we're going to run through. Tottenham Hotspur 3, Bournemouth 1. Listen, I'm gonna give a lot of props here to Spurs because I watched this game. I thought Bournemouth were, especially the first half, were taking it to Spurs a little bit. Couldn't really get a shot on goal in particular, but they were creating some chances. And then once Son got that goal, or not even once he got the goal, just before and once he scored, it was basically all Spurs after that. Bournemouth did get that consolation goal at the end, but I thought this was a great, great performance from Spurs. Still missing a ton of guys. I mean, you got Ben Davies playing center back. That's never good. But Lo Celso was great. Richarlison was great. Brennan Johnson was really good. Son is obviously himself. They're going to miss Sarr. I'm not sure. He's either hurt or he's going to AFCON. So I can't remember which one was.
I think he's going to AFCON.
I didn't know how bad his injury was because he went off in the 32nd minute of this game. Either way, they're going to miss him for a period of time. But yeah, I think they're actually in a really good spot. I think if they can just get couple of those guys back and put in some results, I think they're still fighting top four, definitely top six for sure.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was looking at more from a Bournemouth perspective. This was a heat check game.
Yeah, and I was thinking that too.
Because they haven't lost in, the last time they lost was, what, 6-1 to City. You know, it's been almost 2 months.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, give them credit for getting it right after that. And because, I mean, now you got Spurs, you got QPR coming up on the weekend, but then you go Liverpool, West Ham, Forest, Fulham, Newcastle, City, all in your next 2 months. Like, you know, and then you get Burnley and Sheffield, but they won a bunch of games they weren't supposed to. They won games that they were 50-50 in. Mm-hmm. And I say that 50-50 just, you know, what you would think pregame. You know, they basically put themselves out of the relegation conversation before they get into this really ugly run, and they bought themselves some space and some time. So you got to give them a lot of credit. Like, you know, if they beat Spurs and they're just like, Jesus, man, like these guys might finish top half.
Yeah.
You know, but,
and they have that game in hand that is the Luton makeup.
Yep.
You know, whenever that, I don't know what the deal is with that, like how they're going to, you know, figure that out. But it, you know what I was, if this is like so smart, that it's stupid almost, that you just got, like, think about these teams, like Everton, when they had that upswing that, you know, four games in a row, didn't give up a goal, four wins. Bournemouth have been cruising. West Ham, after losing that game at Anfield, have been beat. They beat they beat Arsenal, they beat you guys. I guess the heat check game was not scoring a goal against Brighton, who literally haven't had a clean sheet all year until that game. So that's pretty crazy. I had a buddy bet on that one, and he was like, how the fuck does this happen? I was like, listen, man, you have some bad luck. But yeah, if you could just, like, you just got to get these teams when they're in a rut. If you get them when they're peaking, they can beat you at any time. I'm hoping that, you know, I love Bournemouth. I'm hoping that they kind of are on a downswing when they play us. But if you could just, like, go through the season and figure out at what point did you play all these teams? Were they on an upswing? Were they on a downswing? That would be an interesting, like, graph to look at. I don't have the ability or the know-how to do that, but that would be something cool. Like, Athletic, go ahead, take my idea and run with it. I'm just not sure how it works.
That's like, I thought about college football. Like, you know, you look at, like, Colorado this year, like, when they lost, whoever they lost the first game to when they got smoked, I can't remember right now. But it's like, oh, you beat them then. Like, or like college basketball. It's more like, I guess it's more relevant in college basketball. Like, when they're picking the tournaments, it's like, oh, you know, you beat Duke. It's like, oh, well, you beat Duke in a Christmas tournament, in like a holiday tournament, and they had six players injured. You know, right. You beat them in the ACC tournament semifinals. Like, the value of, if you could rank values of wins, like, I'm with you. Like, I agree with what you're saying. Like, you're just catching them at, like, we obviously caught them at the wrong time. We suck, and they're really hot. Like,
yeah. Exactly. I'm wondering, like, that's an interesting thing. The result
didn't surprise me.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to look at, though. Like, when you're, like, even Forrest, I think I had mentioned when I picked Forrest to beat United, but I picked that based on the fact that you guys had just won a game. They just beat Newcastle, and against Bournemouth at home, they played really well and just gave up some goals. So I'm sitting there thinking, you know, Forest aren't playing that bad. They're going to be at home where they're a lot better. You guys, on the other hand, are very up and down. You guys don't really have a run a lot of the time. So I was like, I'm going to pick them. I think it's the same thing. For all I know, you guys might just be catching every, like, 12 below team at the worst time every single game. And that could really be it.
I literally said to Dylan, I was wearing he got me a United travel jacket, like a real thin, like, good windbreaker jacket that they get. It's really super comfortable from this shoe. He got me that for Christmas. I'm wearing it. We're walking down through Hoboken. I'm like, dude, I look good. I feel good. Like, I'm ready to go have a morning beer. Like, let's go have a little bit of a morning. And he goes, yeah, you feeling good about the game? I go, no. We had an insane win, played the best half we've played of all year. I go, this is screaming, we're going to lose. I go, I have zero confidence. And then, of course, when the kickoff happened, the air got sucked out of the room. I look at Dylan, I go, we're so screwed. We're so screwed. Like, because then I knew that they had that huge win. I'm like, you never know. Yeah. But I knew, I'm like, we go up and down. Like, we don't even go, like, little up, little down. It's just, we look like a cryptocurrency right now if you're looking at your Robinhood account.
Absolutely. All right, so speaking of teams who hit a patch of form, good and bad, we got to go to the first big one. Fulham 2, Arsenal 1. Bukayo Saka in the 5th minute, followed by a Raul Jimenez goal in the 29th, and then a Bobby De Cordova Reed, love that name, have for the last 3 years, in the 59th minute. Fulham hold on at Craven Cottage to beat Arsenal again. Nick, first question I have to ask you. If you could do one thing, if you could, you know, do you ever play Super Smash Brothers? I'm sure you have, like, the old ones.
I still have it.
Okay, Master Hand. If you could Master Hand down into the Arsenal team, pick up somebody, get rid of them, and put somebody else there. Look at that starting lineup. Who are you doing? Who are you getting rid of? Oh man, I stumped him.
Martinelli. Oh. And it's I'm stuck between Martinelli, and even though Saka scored, he's not been great this year.
So of all
No, hang on. I was too busy focused on those two. It's between Martinelli and Ketia.
Yeah, I don't think you get rid of Saka.
No, I mean, he's too good, but he's not been great this year. But Martinelli hasn't been great, but Nketiah isn't anything. He's trash. He's garbage.
So he definitely isn't Arsenal standard right now. There are obvious names. Tony. Is it Tony? Nope. Who is it?
Sweet baby Jesus. He's the best American scorer in Serie A history. Get that man back into England. Get him back on the NBC network. Bring sweet baby Christian Pulisic back. and put him right. He's not a striker. He looks good in red. He looks good. Nah, he can be.
No, but that would be I think, for Martinelli, to be honest.
You see, this is the thing that I get hung up on. Like, even though the game is modernized and there's not as much of the traditional, you know, stand the ball up, put the ball in the air. Like, there's something to be said about having a striker, having a target man for when a guy like Martinelli and Saka can't put the ball in the net. They're struggling. So you know what? You take the pressure off of them. Like, I think that's United's problem. Not to bring up, like, you know, they don't have a 6'4", 6'5 guy. Go get Ivan Toney, a guy that is really good in the air. He's also really good with the ball at his feet. You know what? You're struggling. You don't have to worry about getting in there and trying to play some really intricate passes and 1-2s. You know what? Make one move, get some space, put the ball on the six, and let him go do something. I think that's why City's so great, though. When you look at like Haaland, obviously in the middle, when in doubt, dude, just stand the ball up. You know, just put it in the area and let him do his thing. I think there's something to be said how that helps wingers who are struggling.
I think Nketiah or Jesus is the obvious, you know, replacement. You either go get Toney or Osimhen or Boniface from Bayer Leverkusen. I think the other one too, also from Bayer Leverkusen, if you get Frimpong on the right side, or I don't know if he's a right, I think he's a right back, right wing back or left wing back, but either way, I don't think Ben White's doing it for me anymore. He is in my fantasy team. He does have a lot of points. Good for him. I just don't see it enough, and Frimpong is very good up, you know, progressing the ball up top. Maybe get Saka inside a little bit more. You're running two-striker style instead. Just adds to the offense a little bit, because I think that's their biggest problem is they just don't score, like, enough.
I mean, keeper to keeper here. You know, nobody else is listening. No one else is listening. It's just you, us. Man. It's just us talking. It's just us talking. Do you make a switch between the sticks? Because I don't think David Raya is anything special. He's good, but...
The problem is, I don't think Ramsdale... a couple years ago, I was real big on Ramsdale. He got the move, and he's been good. He's been better than he was at Bournemouth. The problem is, Arteta clearly wants to play Raya. But since he's been there, he has been significantly worse than he was when he was at Brentford. Like, you know, I'm not even saying he's terrible or anything, but he's just been not as good of a player. I don't think that's the problem, though. Like, I don't think they're losing games because of their goalkeeper. I think they're losing games because they can't put more than a goal past Fulham and West Ham combined. Like, that's more concerning to me.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about goals scored too. I mean, credit to Fulham at this point too. I mean, they hadn't scored a goal because they were shut out three games in a row
after scoring 16 and 4.
Yeah,
it's just exactly. I mean, literally talk about you know, this, like, literally right here, and then all of a sudden you're here.
Yeah. So then real quick. So who's your one guy? Who's the guy you're plucking and who you're putting in his position?
I think it's the obvious answer would be, I think Martinelli's still good. I think he's just playing poorly right now, for sure. But he's scared. Like, when he's on the ball against us, I'm like, oh, he's going to kill whoever. You know, he's going to kill Trent or he's going to do whatever. I would say right back. I would get a guy who can bomb up, and then you just run that Saliba, Gabriel, Tomiyasu, Kiwior, almost three center backs. And then that lets you put Havertz and Odegaard behind that front four, basically, and just help the goalkeeper, because I just think that they need to pin people, and I think Rice can do the defensive shit himself. Like, I think he's that good. Yeah. So, I don't want to call you obvious, but not just harp on what everybody else is saying. Yeah. Get me Ivan Toney. I'll pick Frimpong at right back.
That's fair. I'm a little more of a mainstream guy. You're a little more of a hipster. You know, I know
I think Toney's definitely the better pick. You know, I'm not doubting that, but. I just think, you know, I'll be different. All right, last game before we get to the predictions and everything. Liverpool 4, Newcastle 2, a 0-0 first half, then sees a Salah goal in the 49th minute, followed by Alexander Isak in the 54th, Curtis Jones in the 74th, Gakpo, goodness gracious, in the 78th, I'm having an aneurysm, Botman in the 81st on a big header, and then Salah penalty in the 86th minute. Had a penalty saved in this one as well. It has to be said, Dubravka was, he gave up four goals and still had an 8.2 rating. He was outrageous. But overall, very, very, very exciting game to watch. A lot of action. And I think, again, 4-2 win, obviously, like, playing Newcastle, it's, like, one of the worst things because I'm going to say it right now. Just to lead it off before we get into the penalties and everything else, Joe Linton should have been sent off in that game. It's insane that he gets away with, like assaulting people a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And, like, didn't have a card until, this, I think, the second half. But he was – I love him. He's, like, one of my favorite players to watch. He does so much work. But sometimes I'm just like, oh, my God. Why? Like, how do you get away with this? I don't understand.
I think it's because of the fact that he's so large and the rest feel – you know, it's like when you play youth basketball – and the big kid, not as the guy that was the small kid growing up, that, you know, you get run into by the, you know, I was like 4'6", and you get run into the guy who's like 5'10".
Yeah.
And they just go, oh, small guy falls, must be a foul. Right. Maybe they're doing the opposite, but they're giving the big guy the benefit of the doubt. But
yeah, he's
fun to watch, but he's got a mean streak in him. He's got the red mist a little bit.
But I think that's the thing, too. Like, he plays so hard all the time that it's all he like, has to play physical. Like, he has to do all that shit. But, like, when you're playing against, I understand why people don't like him. And I can separate, you know, not liking him because he hurts people sometimes. But he also plays his ass off. My computer's about to straight up die if I don't plug it in. He's an interesting guy. He's a tough player, but, you know, at that game, I was mad as shit at him. I was like, Jolent, you're kind of being a thug a little bit, you know? The first penalty, the one that Salah missed, I think it's 100% a penalty. I don't know how it isn't a penalty. It was, but, you know, people are up in arms about it. Doesn't matter. He missed it anyway. The Jota one, I think, I don't know who said this. I feel like it was like a player or a coach about, like, the refs need to not be influenced by the crowd. I think if you're at home and you get, that happens to your team like it did with Liverpool, I think if it's the call on the field will be in your favor most of the time. And then I don't think there's enough evidence to overturn it. So therefore, I think, like, it's just, you're unfortunately, you know, not going to get that. I think if that happens at the other end for Newcastle at Anfield, they probably just don't get the call at all, and then there's not enough evidence to overturn it the other way. So I think it's just kind of a weird gray area of VAR. I didn't think it was a penalty, though. In my perfect world, if I could make every single decision, it would not be a penalty.
I'm blanking on the play completely.
So Jota. When Jota went through, he, like, went past Dubravka. Dubravka, like, yes. Touched his leg
a little bit. That's right. Yeah. I just hate how, like, there's any contact from the keeper. Like, if the keeper's put his arms up or his feet up, you know, extend him up. Like, if he's just coming out and he's relatively on the ground, like, and he's committing to making a save and the guy touches it to the side, like, how much can you really do? It's like this, you know, it's not like he's, again, it's you got to take intent out, you know, intent slash, that's why I love the human element. It's like they make the call and you stick with it. Like, that's why penalties should be, hey, it's a handball, it's an offsides, like, stuff like that. But yeah, it was, I agree. Like, it was a harsh one. It was tough.
Again, I think it's like you do get a benefit of the doubt when you're at home a little bit on those, like, 50-50s.
Yeah.
So I think we should have had a penalty. In my world, we should have had one penalty. We scored one penalty. Dubravka saved the other one, whatever. I think overall, insane game by Salah. I know Nunes has a really good rating. He was a 7-9 with an assist. God, he was pissing me off. I mean, he just... I love him. He does so much shit. But at the same time, you have to score some goals. Like, you have to score these chances that he's getting. I hope now that Salah's gone, like, somebody in that front at four, you know, striker or four attacking players up front, like, step up. I think it'll probably be Jota because he's clinical. Diaz looked good. We're going to miss Endo a lot. I thought he was really, really, really good. But then, you know, I think I came away from that game, and I know we had literally put like a 7.27 XG on them, but I feel the past like month I felt so bad for them because they just have to, the same guys play every single game for the most part, and they just have to be dead tired. Like, they have to be exhausted.
And that's what I know I've said it, and I think all of us at some point earlier in the season had said it. You know, the best thing that could happen to them is crash out of Champions League. Like, it's because they're not deep. They're not. You talk about what makes clubs great. Like, you look at you guys, you look at City, why they're there for so long. Like, look at the depth that they can throw together and compete in all these competitions, or when De Bruyne gets hurt. But the ability to rotate squads and still have the same level is really important. And, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, we were talking about, it's what we were saying earlier, like, Forest caught them at a good time. Like, they're tired. You just came out of Champions League. You're playing those midweek games. And now you're hitting the Christmas period. Like, there has to be such a significant drop-off between, you know, from the first team to the second team. Like, or... like, with City so deep, you can put an Oscar Bobbin or a Rico Lewis, and you can, you know, it's like when you're eight, you put your worst player in left field or right field, you know, like, you can kind of hide someone a little bit and build a game plan to protect them, you know, because everyone else, the depth around them is so good. And that takes time, you know. Yeah. Newcastle, I'm sure, you know, they'll be in or out of Europe next year, but if they're out, I can see them being top four again the next season, you know, just because you're playing less and you can build a squad. Like, you can build a team to go Champions League once, but mm-hmm. the sustainability of that, like, is obviously, like, you look at what happened to Wolves a few years ago when they had that sick run in Europa. And then, you know, you look at Burnley right before they got relegated, right? That was because that was two seasons before they got relegated. You know, they finished sixth. Like, that's sick, you know, but they can't sustain it. And that's kind of, Newcastle's having that on a less severe level. Like, they're going to be just fine long term, but
yeah, I mean, they got they're going to have all the money in the world too at the same time.
I had one question for you because I saw because I heard a Villa fan on Saturday was bitching that they should be in first place and should have 50 points. You know, they were doing the ifs, buts, what ifs, buts, and coconuts. You know, like, oh, if we didn't lose to United and draw this, you know, whatever. So I saw something on Instagram where it has it was on ESPN or something. It's like every league leader and then whatever rating, you know, percentage, who's going to win the league.
Uh-huh.
It says Liverpool top of the table, and it gave City the 83% chance to win the league likelihood to win the league. Where do you stand on that fence?
83?
It said 83%. Yeah, I was shocked. I was shocked to see City. The percentage shocked me.
So, but because the thing is, I'm thinking Arsenal still are definitely have a percentage for sure. So that means, like, we're not even the full 17. So, like, we're like, you know, 14 maybe, or like 10, and they're 7 or something like that. I know we have Arsenal away, Villa away, we play City at home, so they have to come here. We play Spurs at home, play Brighton at home, got to go to United. We beat Newcastle both ways. A lot of those top 10 teams, we have Chelsea at home as well, and Wolves as well. So top 11, there were a ton of those teams left to play at home. We've played them away already. I think we have a really good schedule. The problem will be we're going to have to play Arsenal away without Salah. I'm almost certain.
Yeah.
It's definitely in the FA Cup. I don't think we're going to run the you know, first team out there. But if we can get through this period with him and Endo both gone, I don't know if we're going to do anything in January. Probably not. I think we should be, if I'm thinking like three teams in there, I think it should be more like City 60, us 30, Arsenal 10 would be my general, you know, bet there. But I definitely still think City are favorites for sure. Like,
yeah,
they get De Bruyne. Yeah, they get De Bruyne back, and he's playing 80%, 85%. Yeah, they're definitely still the favorites, 100%.
I mean, he's a winter signing. He's a January signing for sure.
Yeah, like, he is like the January signing too. Like, he's it's like getting one of the best players in the world, like, in the January transfer window. So,
absolutely, he's trying to be the ginger David Beckham right now.
His haircut. He is, definitely. Do you think him or David Beckham is a better overall player?
He was never a guy who's gonna control the ball up. It was also, granted, it was a different style of game too, like, but right. He's a central midfielder and a winger. Like, you know, it's two different, what Beckham can do with the ball, De Bruyne can do, which is what's insane. Like, they can put the ball on a fly's head 70 yards downfield, which is insane.
I agree.
Plus the other technical skills, so.
No, yeah, different guys. Okay, so we don't have Premier League soccer this weekend. It's FA Cup weekend. Nick, we have 32 games, 64 teams. I want you to pick one that you're most excited for, if you can manage that for me. And I have one as well.
Yeah, let me look at it. I'm only about halfway through picking. I was doing it earlier today. Because I picked the games and I'm like, oh yeah, I know this one. The other one's like, you know, you're looking at League Two. I'm like, I'm going to have to take a look at this for a second. I picked one wild upset out of nowhere. Well, actually, I do have Wrexham beating Shrewsbury. Just because I love the big guy, what was his name, who played for Morecambe. They play Swansea. I just think that that's really fun, just because I just like following him because of that big heavy guy that was a striker. The Jack dude, I can't remember his name is, but
most excited for. I know what Dylan's is.
You know what I'm excited for, actually? Where is it? I'm excited for the Sheffield United game. Because I picked Gillingham to win. And I just think, I want to see, because Gillingham's on a little bit of a run, and Sheffield's not. So I'm really excited to see. I think that will be my bold prediction. That is my boldest prediction of the week, is that I did pick Gillingham over Sheffield United.
Oh, Gillingham at home. I actually think it's Gillingham. Sure it's Gillingham, but whatever. We're dumb Americans.
I'll trust you. You're 99% of the time, you're the correct person with pronunciations.
Sometimes. All right, mine is undoubtedly, I think this is going to be the best one. I just have to find it so I don't screw anything up. Sunderland hosting Newcastle, huge rivalry, going to Sunderland for this game. Newcastle definitely on a dip. I think they're going to play. I think they can't afford to lose this game, because then they're just out of everything. It's just the Premier League, and then it looks kind of dismal if they don't finish in some Europe spots. So that, I think that's like the most exciting game. I think obviously Liverpool Arsenal is huge, but that's a more interesting game for me for sure. All right, Nick, it was a pleasure talking to you. Did Dylan give you a joke, or do I have to Google one real quick?
I'm one step ahead of you.
Atta boy. All right, hit us with a joke. Get us out of here.
All right. Where do soccer players go to dance? The football.
The NAFTA podcast.
Sometimes it may be good, sometimes it may be shit.